Happy New Year, everybody! Welcome to the first sound-off of the new decade. This is my third decade doing this. Still a little bit under the weather, but I had to spend at least part of my New Year's with all of you. You didn't think you were going to get rid of me that easily, did you? You didn't think I was going to miss this. The first Dynamite of the new year. This is your AEW Dynamite review for New Year's Day 2020. From Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida, the site of Fight for the Fallen this past summer. I love that venue. I really like that venue a lot. I just think it comes across great on TV. And I guess it's the has something to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know if it's some kind of training facility. I think they explained it on TV. And obviously the Khan family has a lot to do with the Jacksonville Jaguars, hence the relationship there, but I think it's a great venue. So we're going to get into the first Dynamite of the year, which I thought overall was a very good show, very strong effort, nice bounce back from some of the more recent shows they've done. Poll is open for you to vote on Twitter right now. You can voice your opinion, what you thought of the show, thumbs up, thumbs down. Just go to @Solomonster on Twitter, and you can vote right now in the poll. And let me know what you think. Hit that sub button if you are not already subscribed to the channel. The Streamlabs alerts are working. So if you sub to the channel or if you want to do Super Chats are open. You guys will be the first donations of any kind, really, for the new decade. Anybody who chooses to donate tonight. Of course, Russo on a poll for $10 or more. You guys know the drill. So again, all those Super Chat people, they are open. Taz joined Jim Ross and Excalibur on commentary tonight. Tony Schiavone was on assignment with the Georgia Bulldogs doing radio commentary. I guess the Georgia Bulldogs are playing in the Sugar Bowl tonight. And so Tony will be back next week. But I have to say, I thought Taz did a hell of a job tonight. It's been a while since I've heard Taz on commentary. You know, obviously he did commentary for a while in WWE, did commentary in Impact. And it's been many years since I've heard him in this environment. Now, he did AEW Dark a few weeks ago. But in terms of doing one of the main shows, this was really his big return. And I thought he gelled very well with Jim Ross and Excalibur. So I won't say that I want to see him replace Tony Schiavone or anything like that. I do like Tony Schiavone. But it would be nice if Taz could fill in when Tony is not able to do the show. I think he did a hell of a job tonight. But I do have to take them to task for something, and that is that they are still having audio issues. And I got quite a few tweets from a number of you telling me the same thing. Now, the audio issues that they're having now seem to have to do with the backstage segments. And Wavy Davey, thank you for the $4.99 Super Chat. Happy New Year, says Wavy Davey. Happy New Year to you, my friend. This is it's going to be a good year, going to be a big year here for the Sound Off. But the backstage segments, I don't know what the issue is. When they go backstage, that you could still hear the arena audio. There was some other mess up during the segment with the Jurassic Express, where when Luchasaurus went to speak, they were playing music. There was one backstage segment where they seemed to get it right, and they were just playing the audio from the back, and you can hear it, and there were no issues. But they're still dealing with audio problems all these weeks in. And I don't know if it's somebody in the chat says it's the mixing, whatever it is. You know, hopefully they can get that taken care of. Sean Turner, thank you very much for the $2 Super Chat. Says, Taz, you were at the wrong show. It was Raw, not AEW. I don't know what that means, but thank you to Sean Turner. Keep sending in those Super Chats. I'll be sure to read them throughout the night. Show opened with a video package detailing the Elite's string of bad luck. They showed Chris Jericho winning the AEW Championship, beating Hangman Page. Of course, the Elite being beaten down by the Creepers of the Dark Order, and Cody being betrayed by MJF, and so tonight was going to prove whether or not the Elite is in fact still Elite. I thought this was a very well done video package, and it is a new year, which means the rankings are now reset in AEW. But according to Excalibur, the current rankings from this past year will be weighted, whatever that means. I guess they will be taken into consideration in some way. But basically, they're taking a new year, new me approach with the rankings, and they now reset here for 2020. Cody against Darby Allin opened the show in a rematch from their 20-minute draw at Fyter Fest back in June. From what I remember, that was a pretty good match, actually, between the two of them. And so this was the rematch between the two of them. Cody came out with Arn Anderson in his corner. Arn Anderson has officially signed on as the new head coach of the Nightmare family. Look at that, Bryant Becerra, the Florida Freebird, one of our loyal listeners on the main Sound Off. $10 super chat on a poll, bro. Hey, Salamonster, happy new year. Happy new year to you, Bryant's been a listener for a long time. Many, many years. Big supporter of the show. Got to give him a shout out. Dougie Dizzle, $10 super chat. He says, my homie Alex Salvador said he loves your podcast, never misses a show. Well, you could tell Alex that I appreciate the hell out of him. See, I get very sentimental around this time of year. Especially, I've been sick. I've been feeling like shit the last few days. So whenever I hear stuff like this, this makes me feel good. Whoa! Prince Walker. I thought that said $2,500. I was going to say, you're a crazy bastard. I don't know what denomination that is, but that translates to $22.84. That's fine. That's cool, too. I got excited there for a second. I said, we're starting off the new year with a bang. I saw that $2,500. Says, I guess it's Japanese. Checking in from Japan. Been a fan since SE Scoops days. I joined the Navy in 2007. So every year of the Sound Off is also a year for me in the Navy. So thank you for being my wrestling voice, no matter where I am stationed in the world. Well, thank you very much, Prince. I hope that you can listen to the Sound Off anywhere in the world, wherever you may be. Got people from all over the place. I hear from people in every country who say they listen to the podcast. So thank you for the support. So Arn Anderson is the head coach of the Nightmare family. And all I can think to myself is, I don't know if that includes Brandy's Nightmare Collective. Is he the head coach for them too? Is he going to give them guidance on which locks of hair to cut from all the ladies' heads? I saw the press release. They put a press release out the other day. And the press release said that Arn Anderson was going to be Cody's head coach and personal advisor. And even during the match tonight, you know, whenever he would give Cody advice, he had papers in his hand. He was covering his mouth like a football coach. I guess so he wouldn't give away any secrets. I'm not sure why somebody with one of the best win-loss records in the company needs a head coach. That's kind of weird, I think. But I know Pat Shermer is looking for a job. Ian Israel, thank you for the $10 super chat on a poll, bro. We're seeing a lot of Little Russo here tonight. I like it. I like it. It's a good start to the night. So, Allin drops Cody on the apron, hits a tope through the ropes. Cody gets up, he's selling his left arm. And Allen's working over the arm for a while. He's got him in a Fujiwara armbar at one point, and he's just, you know, being relentless on the arm. And Darby pulls the top turnbuckle off at one point. Gets booed for doing it. He tries to ram Cody into the exposed steel, and instead Cody sends him out onto the ramp. Of course, if you remember Daly's plays from Fight for the Fallen, they have a ramp to the ring. If you remember the arena setup, it was the same setup here. So Darby goes up to the top rope, high cross body. Cody rolls through for a near fall. Cody Cutter at the 10-minute mark. And Code Red. Allin hit a Code Red during the commercial break off the top rope to Cody for a near fall. And coffin drop onto Cody on the apron. If you remember in their first match, Darby Allin missed the coffin drop onto the apron in a brutal spot. And this time he actually managed to nail it. Less than 5 minutes left in the match, Cody spikes Darby right on top of his head with the crossroads. Darby, though, kicks out at 2.5. Sir Dirk-a-Lot, thank you, brother. $1.99 super chat, appreciate it. Brian also sent in a $3 super chat. Never a dull moment with you, Solomonster. Is that good or bad? I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I'll take that as a compliment, though. So Cody ends up running right into the exposed turnbuckle. See, the exposed steel came into play later on in the match. Cody runs right into it. I couldn't tell if he ran into it shoulder first or sternum first, but he goes down. And Darby sees an opportunity here. He climbs up to the top rope for the coffin drop. Arn Anderson climbs up onto the apron. He's on his knees on the apron. And he is, according to Jim Ross, he's basically giving a signal to Cody, because he's the head coach. He's giving a signal to him to get the knees up, which he does. And Cody folds up Darby Allin for the win. I thought this match was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this. Look, any opportunity to get Arn Anderson on TV, especially if he starts cutting promos. Not that Cody needs the help. I mean, in a way, you could look at this and say, is Cody really the best person for Arn Anderson to be coaching? Because Cody is one of the best promos in all of wrestling. I mean, you can fight me on that all you want to. That's just a fact. You know, you may think somebody else is the best. I don't see how you can argue that he isn't one of the best. And so maybe somebody else could benefit from Arn's promo skills, but I like the fact that we got Arn Anderson in some kind of role now on TV, and I thought this was a fun match. So a nice hot way here to open up the first Dynamite of the new year. Riho defends the AEW Women's Championship in a four-way against the number 2, number 3, and number 4 ranked women in the company, Britt Baker, Hikaru Shida, and the recently suspended in storyline, Nyla Rose. This is after Chris Statlander, the number one contender, had to back out of what was going to be a one-on-one championship match between her and Riho. She backed out due to a prior commitment that she had made with Joey Ryan's promotion, Bar Wrestling, out in Los Angeles for a show tonight that apparently she failed to inform AEW about, which is completely ridiculous. 9 days went by from the time that that championship match was announced on Dynamite, live on TNT, to the time that AEW, I guess, found out that she had double-booked herself, or that she was double-booked, and made the announcement that she was bowing out. That's on Statlander. If that's the way it worked out, that's on Statlander. She's got to let the company know that. How does 9 days go by? You're announced for a championship match on live television. So, in any event, she'll get her title match next week instead. She will still get a championship match. James Hollins, thank you for the $3.99 super chat. Buy or sell Aces and Eights or the Dark Order? Why do you do that to me? Aces and Eights or the Dark Order? Oh, boy. I'm going to sell on both. Can I do that? Of course I can do that. It's my show. I'm going to sell on both. I'm going to sell on both. So, Nyla blindsides Riho before the bell. And she's got the championship belt, and she's knocking people down with it. And Shida has, I guess it was a kendo stick, and she's whacking Nyla Rose with it. And Nyla hit a guillotine knee drop off the top rope to Shida. She puts Shida on a table outside the ring, hits a senton through the table. Riho hits a double stomp from the top rope to the apron onto Nyla Rose. Britt Baker hit a draping DDT on Nyla, went for a lockjaw. Rose muscled her up and powerbombed her way out of it. This was all action, you know, for the most part. There's a lot of action here in this match. And Riho got a couple of double stomps in there on Nyla for a near fall, and Shida superplexed Britt Baker from the apron back into the ring, hit a backbreaker on Britt. There was a spot here where Nyla Rose hit a slam on Shida. She slammed Riho on top of Shida and went for a swanton. She was going to squash both of them. And they moved out of the way, thankfully for them, and she got nothing. Shida hit Riho with a falcon arrow for a near fall. Baker hit a super kick on Shida, went for lockjaw. And Shida turned that into a cradle for a near fall. So then we get to the end here. Riho hits a sunset flip. In the midst of all this action, she gets a sunset flip. And Britt Baker is pinned. Britt Baker kicks out just after the three count. And Riho looked shocked. She had this look on her face like, you know, the referee's holding her arm up. And she's like, really? Like, that's it? That's the end of the match? Like, she couldn't believe it. And I wasn't sure in that moment if it was a botch, And maybe Britt Baker was supposed to kick out, and she didn't. I don't think it was a botch. I mean, I assume Riho was going to win no matter what. This sequence here just looked a little awkward. Nyla Rose attacked Riho afterwards, later across a table that she set up inside the ring, and then she splashed Riho, all 90 pounds of her, through the table. And so she now goes into her title defense against Chris Statlander next week at less than 100%. I figured they were just going to delay the match by a week, so I never really doubted that Riho was going to retain here. I thought this match was really good. I thought this was one of the best AEW women's matches we've seen so far. And the real standout to me in this match was Hikaru Shida. I thought she was the most impressive. She's the one that really stood out to me. I would not have minded if they would have put the championship on her. And I think Statlander needs to win next week. Riho is good. I mean, I like Riho, but I think they need to get the title off of her. I think it's time to get that belt on somebody else. And somebody who, you know, will be on the show week to week. In fact, later on in the show, when Riho was being interviewed backstage by Alex Marvez about her title defense next week, Baker walked up to her, and she was very annoyed. She's very annoyed that she, you know, I'm there every single week, and I'm running my own dental practice on the side. Riho, you know, you only show up when you want to. So apparently Britt Baker, not a fan of Brock Lesnar, I'm guessing. Not a big fan of Brock Lesnar. Jake Johnson, thank you for the $2 super chat. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5 super chat. Says, hopefully Statlander wins the title next week, judging by the ending. I agree. You read my mind. I just got done saying the same thing. I'd like to see Statlander win the title, too. I think it's a good time for that to happen. Excuse me there. Thankfully, I have a cough button. God, I've been hacking my guts up all week. I had a massive head cold 2 weeks ago. And, you know, sometimes you get a cold and it's gone within like 2 or 3 days. This was not one of those colds. This was like the cold from hell. I was sick for over a week. It started to feel better. And then I was out at someone's house for Christmas. And I'm told, there's like 4 little kids. And apparently all 4 little kids, I was told, were sick. And what do you do? What am I supposed to do? Turn around and leave? Peace out. I'm going to go home. I knew I was fucked. As soon as they told me that, I said I knew I was fucked. The only saving grace, I said, maybe there's something to this idea that you can't get sick with another cold so soon after you just got over one. Maybe your immune system is working in hyperdrive or something and it protects you. Nope. There's multiple strains of the common cold. Apparently, I've already gotten 4 of them this year. Sucks. Anyway, we got a Dark Order video package. We saw Evil Uno. He was addressing what he referred to as the Exalted One. And he said that their mission was done. They have decimated the elite. And so the idea here is that they are working for a higher power. They are serving a higher power of some kind. Not Vince McMahon, although that would be funny. Not Vince McMahon. My first guess is Marty Scurll. That's who I... That was the first name that I thought of. This whole concept of there being... a higher power. I think Skrull's coming in once he's done with his little detour in the NWA, and they could play it off as him wanting to take out the elite for leaving him behind. You know, they were all together as a group over there in Japan. They were like brothers. They were thick as thieves, and then they all went and started up AEW, and he was stuck where he was, and he's sort of the one that was forgotten. He was left behind, and so that's the easiest story for them to play if it's going to be him. If it's not going to be him, the other obvious choice, the more obvious choice, especially based on what they did tonight, would be Hangman Page. But to me, that almost seems a little too obvious. I wouldn't go down that road. I wouldn't go down that road. James Hollins, thank you for the $1.99 super chat. Teddy Hart and Maria Manic to AEW confirmed. I don't know why you would think that. I certainly don't think that AEW needs that. I think that's opening up a can of worms that they don't need right now. Yeah, I'd stay away from that. We had Jon Moxley against Trent of the Best Friends. I thought the match was good. My only beef with it, if I had beef with this match is that Moxley is the number one contender for the AEW championship. I think he has the best male win-loss record in the entire company. And it took him 11 minutes to beat Trent. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that. Let's talk about the highlight of the match. When I got into the ring, Orange Cassidy stepped into the ring. He put his hands in his pockets. Moxley's got pockets too, because he's wearing jeans in there. And so he puts his hands in his pockets. But only for a second. Then he turned around right into a running knee by Trent, who followed that up with a stuffed pile driver for a near fall. It's nice to see pile drivers again on TV. Am I the only one who missed a pile driver? Just like the regular pile. I'm not talking tombstone. I'm not talking package. Just a good old-fashioned pile driver. I like seeing that. So Moxley hits a paradigm shift on the ramp on Trent. Gets him back inside the ring. Hits an elevated paradigm shift for the win. Sammy Guevara, we hear him on the microphone. He's coming out through the crowd. And he takes someone's drink. He stole some popcorn from somebody. He's stuffing his face with the popcorn as he's walking down to the ring. And he throws it to Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho's on the Tron. He's on the giant screen somewhere. I'm guessing he's either already in Tokyo or he's on his way there for Wrestle Kingdom this weekend. So that's why he wasn't there live. Moxley's headed there right after the show. I mean, he's facing Lance Archer for the United States Championship on night one at the Tokyo Dome this weekend. So Jericho says, here's the big surprise. Jericho says he's offering Moxley 49% of the Inner Circle LLC. They have an LLC for the Inner Circle. 49%. He wants to be half and half partners. Of course, half and half is not 49, but he wants to go in half and half as partners with Moxley. They'll be the leaders, the co-leaders of the Inner Circle. He's also offering him the role of executive vice president of the Inner Circle. He's offering him a new Ford GT, he says worth millions of dollars. The members of the Inner Circle have pitched in to buy one Ford GT just for Jon Moxley. They even had a vanity plate on the card that read Mox. Now, I looked this up online. I was curious about this because I've heard about this Ford GT. In fact, John Cena was embroiled in some kind of lawsuit with Ford over, I think he tried to sell a Ford GT, which he wasn't allowed to sell. I don't even know how that was resolved. I believe it was resolved. But I looked it up. And the Ford GT is online anyway. It is listed at a little over half a million dollars. That's the price for the car I see online. So not exactly millions. Just a tad bit out of my price range. I think I need a few more super chats to be able to buy one for myself. But my friend's a car guy, and I texted him. I said, hey, you know, Jericho's standing in front of a Ford GT right now on TV. I figured that's like catnip for him. He would love this. And he said that there's not a single new generation one of those Ford GTs for sale. Either new or used, anywhere. And Ford selected people to buy this car. It's very exclusive, apparently. I was asking him, I said, what's the big deal about this car? And he was telling me, and look, I don't care how nice the car is. No car is worth that amount of money. The figures he was throwing around, the things he was telling me, just preposterous. Even he said, it's preposterous. It's preposterous. No car is worth that amount of money. The Batmobile is not worth that amount of money. Actually, Jerry Lawler has his own Batmobile. Moxley says he's always considered Jericho a friend, except for that one time that he gave him a paradigm shift, of course, a double or nothing, I guess. We'll forget that happened. He said that he'll have an answer for Jericho in person next week on Dynamite. And it would be interesting, although it really does go against the way the New Japan normally books their big matches on their shows. I mean, they have some acts. I mean, you look at what Jay White does and stuff like that, where they sometimes do the more Americanized stuff. I mean, for a while there, the Bullet Club and the Gorillas of Destiny, it's like every match was a DQ, and it would piss everybody off. But generally speaking, you don't see those types of finishes in New Japan. But I was thinking about this after this segment here. If Moxley were to help Jericho win his match over Tanahashi this weekend, because of course the big stipulation is that if Hiroshi Tanahashi can beat Chris Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom this weekend, then he will earn a championship match for the AEW title. And as nice as that would be, and I would love for these two companies to work together, I don't think it's happening. I think it's just bait. I think it's just a way to hype the match up. So what if Moxley gives Jericho the assist? I think Jericho's winning. Does Jericho just beat Tanahashi clean straight up? If not, what if Moxley gave him the assist? What if Moxley got involved in some way? Yeah, that would make people think, hey, he may be joining the inner circle. And then, of course, next week he doesn't. Oh, man. But interesting idea. Again, I don't know the likelihood of them doing it, but I was thinking about how maybe they can play into things in the way these matches play out this weekend. But I suppose if the two companies aren't working together, New Japan's going to book the show the way they fucking want to, not the way that AEW might want them to. Back from break, Sammy Guevara is still out there. He's got a scheduled match against Dustin Rhodes. Rhodes hit a spine buster here in the middle of this match for a two count. Guevara hit a standing shooting star press. Dustin looked good. I mean, at one point, I think he hit this dive, actually, out from the apron onto the floor. He was, you know, 50 years old. He's out there rocking and rolling like he's 20 years younger. He had a Canadian destroyer to Sammy Guevara on the apron at one point. So he went for a cover back inside. Jake Hager jumps up on the apron. Rhodes punched him in the face. He sends Sammy out to the floor, and he, he kind of clipped Hager. They both go down. Dustin hits his, now he's got his signature kick to the crotch in the corner. He goes for it, and referee Bryce Remsburg jumps in the way and says, no, you can't do that. Now somewhere in here, I don't know how this happened, but Sammy got a wedgie, as the announcer so astutely pointed out. So anyway, Hager gets into the ring, hits a low blow, referee is distracted in the corner with Guevara, and Sammy ends up pinning Dustin. And so Sammy Guevara picks up the win for the inner circle. I like Sammy. It's a good, just a good annoying heel. I could do without the tongue wagging. Every time I see a picture of this guy, he's got that stupid tongue hanging out of his mouth. But he's good in the role. I like Sammy Guevara. MJF is out next. Speaking of heels that I like, MJF comes out with Wardlow to announce the stipulations for his match with Cody. Everyone's favorite, Wardlow, is out there. And he says, here are the stipulations. Cody wants a match with me. Here's how it's going to go. The time for this match is at the Revolution pay-per-view, which is coming up on February 29th. He says, in the meantime, if Cody so much as lays a finger on him, there is no match. There is no match. No physicality. He says, Cody must first go one-on-one with an opponent of his choosing and beat them, and that man is going to be Wardlow. And it will happen inside a steel cage. So this will be the first steel cage match in AEW, I believe. I'm trying to think if we've seen one yet. I don't believe we have. So this will probably be the first cage match in AEW. Brian, $5 super chat. Thank you very much. He says, I thought Arn Anderson was dressed up as the Giants GM Dave Gettleman. Well, if that's the case, then Cody's in a lot of trouble. Cody needs to get rid of this guy. Because I got news for you. Pat Shermer wasn't the only one who should have been fired last week. So for Cody's sake, I certainly hope that's not the case. And back to MJF's stipulations here. He says, finally, live on TNT, in front of Cody's family, in front of Cody's friends. The other provision, if he wants this match with MJF, he's got to get down on all fours so that MJF can whip him with his leather belt 10 times. Now, if I'm Cody, I'm thinking about that. I'm listening to him giving all these stipulations, right? Especially the whipping part. And I'm thinking to myself, I said, you know, if I'm Cody, I just hit Wardlow backstage in the back of the head with a brick. And then I beat the shit out of MJF right then and there. I don't go through all these hoops, embarrass myself live on television. And then I remind myself they have a TV show to book here, and so I get it. I get it. So of course he'll accept. They promoted a tribute to the legends of Memphis wrestling next Wednesday on Dynamite. They didn't mention which legends, any specific names that would be honored. Obviously, Jerry Lawler will not be there. Plus, Jon Moxley will give his answer to Chris Jericho. Riho defends her women's title against Chris Statlander. Cody and Dustin will take on the Lucha Bros. And Kenny Omega teams with Hangman Page against Private Party. There was a segment on the show where Private Party was at a bar. Not like out in public. It was, I don't know if this was a bar backstage. I guess it was a bar in the back. And Hangman Page was like the bartender. He was, again, it was tough for me to hear the audio. I was also typing up some notes here. I think he either stole their drink. I don't know exactly what he did. They weren't very happy with Hangman Page. Hangman Page, though, left with the drink. He came out. He was doing commentary for the main event. He had a drink in hand. And Jim Ross sounded very upset that he did not have drinks for him. So, Moscow Mule, I believe JR said later on, he'd like to share after the show with Hangman Page. Main event was Pac and the Lucha Bros taking on Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, the Elite. Still teasing some dissension, though, Page was, between he and Omega. It's very subtle, but clearly it's there. I thought this was a hot main event. All action, really good stuff. We got double destroyers at one point by the Bucks from the apron into the ring. Omega and Pac tag in. They're going at it. There's a snap German by Pac. Omega comes back with a V-trigger and the Snapdragon. Powerbomb follows that. Pentagon makes the save. There's a backstabber by Pentagon to Kenny Omega. Bucks make the save with super kicks. We see a cutter by Phoenix and actually, a pair of them. And Kenny hits the V-trigger and the Snapdragon. Pac hits the Black Arrow. And that is a move that has largely gone back to his WWE days when it was the Red Arrow. It's been very protected. That's one of the more protected moves that I've seen in wrestling in many years. As it should be, because it's an incredible move to watch. And so I was happy it wasn't kicked out of here. It was the Bucks coming in to make the save. It would have bothered me. It would have bothered me if he would have kicked out of that Black Arrow. James Hollins, thank you for the $1.99 Super Chat. What female AEW star are you most impressed by? Well, I said earlier, I'm impressed by Hikaru Shida after tonight. I've been a Chris Statlander fan for a while. I was talking her up before she even got signed by AEW. So those are two names right there that stand out to me. I'm not even sure. I don't have the full list in front of me. They have more women than you would think under contract. We just don't get to see a lot of them on TNT each week. It's sort of this rotating, revolving group of the same five or so, maybe six women. And they have a lot more than that, I think, under contract working for them. Penelope Ford, look, I've seen limited work from her in the ring, but what I've seen of her when she actually is wrestling is pretty impressive. You know, but right now she's serving as a valet for Kip Sabian. But she's another one who I think could be very impressive. But tonight it was Shida, and Statlander is another one I would throw in there as someone who's impressed me. Pac locks in the Brutalizer. Matt Jackson breaks it up. Phoenix flies into the ring, caught with a V-trigger, and Kenny Omega finishes him off with the One-Winged Angel. It is a win for the Elite. Cody comes down. He's all smiles. I guess he must not have heard MJF's promo. He's celebrating with Omega. He's celebrating with the Bucks. And they look over to the announcers and they say, come on, Hangman, come join us. Hangman's got his drink in his hand and he's looking at them and he's going, I didn't do anything though. You guys got this taken care of. I didn't do anything here. You guys, you're cool. You celebrate. You don't need me. Again, very subtle. A lot of passive aggressiveness from Hangman Page. And who knows? Maybe he is the leader of the Dark Order. Maybe that will be part of the big reveal. Again, I just think that would be a little too obvious. I don't know. Hangman Page with the Dark Order? It just doesn't even fit. I think Marty Scurll would be a better fit for that. So he'll be my pick for now. If I had to pick somebody, I think it's going to end up being Marty. I guess we'll find out. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll, see what you guys think of the show tonight. So far, over 1,300 votes, and almost 81% thumbs up, 19% thumbs down, so overwhelmingly positive response, as it should be. I mean, I think tonight, It really was one of the better shows that they've done. Right down to the setting, I love the atmosphere. Taz on commentary filling in for Shivani, I thought he did a very good job. So all in all, this was a really good, I think, start to the year for AEW. And hopefully they can follow through on this and, you know, capitalize and put together a string of strong shows. Now, there was no competition tonight from NXT. NXT was a kind of a best of show. They were handing out awards for 2019. And they also announced the 8 teams that are going to be participating in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Now, I guess technically this would be a spoiler. There were no matches. I mean, come on, there's no spoilers here. If you don't want to know the names of the teams, I guess you can tune out. But I will now read to you the names as they were announced tonight. The way they're doing it this year, and I don't believe they did it this way last year. James Hollins, thank you, $1.99 Super Chat. There you see the Al Bundy shoot me for $12 Super Chat. He says, I bet AEW wins in the ratings this week. Well, I mean, you know, that would be like NXT winning in the ratings last week when there was no AEW. The AEW rating last week was zero. NXT is going to get a rating tonight, but yes, I would say that if AEW loses to a best of show for NXT, that's not going to be a good look. So yes, I think it's safe to say that AEW will probably pick up the win this week. But the way they're doing it this year with the Dusty Classic is they're dividing it 8 teams, 4 from NXT and 4 from NXT UK. So that is the breakdown of how they're doing it this year. The 4 NXT teams are the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, the Forgotten Sons, Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake, the team of Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne, and the team of Kushida, and a mystery partner to be named. It's got to be Cameron Grimes. I mean, who else would it be? I mean, they're the ones that have been feuding now for weeks. In wrestling logic, that means they end up as tag team partners. In wrestling logic, that probably means they win the whole thing. Although they're not my pick. The other 4 teams from NXT UK are Zach Gibson and James Drake, Joe and Mark Coffey, Imperium, the team of Marcel Bartel and Fabian Eichner, and the team of Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. So my early pick, I'll throw it out there right now. This is a bizarre list to me, but a little weird. But I got to go with Riddle and Dunn. I'm picking Matt Riddle and Pete Dunn to win the Dusty Classic this year. That's my early pick. You guys can chime into the chat. Who do you think? Who's your early pick? Your favorite pick to win the 2020 Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic? You guys can let me know. And I'm going to just switch over here. Put the phone number back up. We didn't take calls 2 weeks ago. So we will take some calls here tonight. Magician Sapphire with the $10 super chat on a poll, bro. Happy New Year, Solid Monster. Drink plenty of orange juice and get well soon. I have drank so much orange juice today that the acid is probably ripping my stomach lining to shreds. There's a lot of acid in orange juice. You don't want to drink too much of that stuff. But yes, I have a jug of Tropicana in my fridge. So thank you very much. I'm well ahead of you there. I'm well ahead of you. There you see the number on your screen, 989-282-SOLO, 989-282-7656. We'll take a few calls here. I'm just checking out the chat. A lot of people seem to like my pick. Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne. Turtlehead 2 says, Forgotten Son. What's wrong with you? Come on now. Forgotten Sons? Come on. Come on. Don't do that. Don't put that evil on me. Let's go to the lines here. Man, they're all jammed up. Let's go to, start on the East Coast. Area code 781. You're on the air.
Solid Monster, no way. All right, when's Luke Harper going to make his AEW debut?
Well, who am I talking to first?
Martin. Boston.
Okay, Martin from Boston. When is Luke Harper going to make his AEW debut? Well, I don't know. I'm assuming he's got a 90-day non-compete. So if that's the case, we're not going to see him until probably March at the earliest. So I would say probably sometime in if we're going to see him there, it won't be until March or April.
All right, side question. Him and Moxley, another badass death match for like their CZW match from years ago.
Harper and Moxley?
Yep, you saw that match, right?
I either saw it or I saw highlights many years ago. It's been a while since I've seen it, though.
Well, it's a classic, and it would be even more classic on the new stage.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, if they want to put the two of them in the ring together, I'm down for that. I really was not, you know, anybody who listens to the show knows I wasn't a huge fan as much as some people were of the Lights Out match that Moxley had with Omega. I just think, I don't know, you know, it just wasn't my thing. So I don't think they need to go in there and have a match like that. I just think you take the two of them in like a no DQ match and just let them go out there and they can beat the hell out of each other. You know, if they want to do table spots and stuff, that's fine. I'd be down for that. Now, I'm not convinced that Luke Harper is just going to go to AEW. And AEW has to be careful, too. They don't want to just bring in too much ex-WWE talent. Luke Harper is somebody who I think deserves a chance. Who's to say he doesn't want to go, you know, to Japan first or something? You know, Luke Harper in Japan? What do you think about that? I mean, that might work. He's a big guy. Talented guy. I don't know what's in his head. I don't know what he wants to do. 912, you're on the air.
Solomon, so what's going on? It's where George.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So I was actually at the show, so to give you a real quick live count. So I'm not sure how I came across the television. The crowd was hot. Everybody seemed to have a good time. Still felt like the main event felt rushed, like where we were sitting, because we took it and watched this like less than 15 minutes. It's a 6-man tag. Get their match in. Not really sure how it came across to you all, but we kind of felt like it was a little bit rushed because I don't know. I feel like AEW still hasn't gotten time to like calm it down to get segments done or things tightened up like that. Also, like, take exception with a couple points you made. You seem to have a problem with Trent being competitive against Moxley. I don't know if he was like someone like Trent who just have totally just been like a squash match towards Moxley. And also, I want to appreciate your words about Riho. I think she is a treasure. She should remain AEW champion. Hello, Chris. I think she was great. Riho is a treasure, sir. And I take exception with what you said.
Well,
other than that, go ahead, sir.
No, that's fine. I think it's time. I think the time has come. I think the time has come for her to drop the championship, get somebody else in that role.
That's fair.
And then look, she could. You never know. She could always win it back. She could always win it back.
No, yeah, right. You know, you're right, and I get what you're saying because she isn't on top, and some of the other women are. So I get what you're saying. So I was just being a little bit sarcastic, but it was a great show. We all had a great time.
It's all good.
Yeah. But no, it's just live, just like I said, live count there. Like everybody there seemed to have a great time. Orange Cassidy was pretty much super, probably one of the more popular people besides Cody.
Of course he is.
MJF, obviously a total heat magnet. So yeah, I'm not sure how it came across the television, but everybody in the crowd had a good time. So keep up the great work and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you too. I thought it came across great on TV. The hot crowd, great location. It's one of those places where I would love to go to an AEW show there at, Daly's Place. Looks like a fun place to take in a wrestling show. I don't know. There's something about that atmosphere. Obviously, it's not summertime now. But there's something about it that kind of reminds me, in a way, of those old shows they would do. Not even necessarily the spring break shows, but they would do these outdoor shows on occasion. I want to say it was at, it might have been Universal Studios. Maybe it was Universal Studios. Because I remember seeing Rey Mysterio against Dean Malenko. And it kind of reminded me of some of those old WCW locations. And I like that. I like the variety of it. Just to, you know, just change things up a little bit. Instead of being in the same place every week. Let's go to Long Beach. I believe it's Long Beach. 562. You're on the air.
Hello?
562.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? That's me.
Hello? Oh. Hey, Tall Monster.
Hey, who am I talking to?
Hello? It's me.
It's me. Well, you're gonna have to do better than that. Who am I? Do you have a name?
Yeah. My name is Danny Alvarez, bud. How's it going, Salt Monster?
Good, Danny. How are you?
I'm doing just good. Just good. How was your New Year's, by the way?
It was. I've had better New Year's. I've been under the weather, but it's better now.
All right. Mm-hmm. Mine was all right. So, question of all, before we talk about AEW, is it okay if we can talk about WWE for a little bit?
Well, let's keep it to AEW because we got a lot of people waiting to call in to talk about AEW. So let's keep it to that.
Oh, okay. All right. For sure. About AEW, to me, like, I enjoy AEW. Like, I love the show a lot. And to me, I really love, like Chris Jericho's Ford GT car. Like, it was pretty awesome what he has. And to me, like, I like cars like that. They're pretty awesome. And also, to me, I just want to say, man, do you think AEW is going to buy WWE?
Okay, all right, for sure.
Yeah, no, I don't, actually. Not at all. Let's go to 925. You're on the air. 925, going once.
Oh, hello?
Hey.
This is Preston, once again, Saul Monster, a.k.a. Godzilla Hawk. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I could have been better. So, first of all, before I get to my little quick side question here, I just want to get my thoughts on AEW very quick. I did like the show. I thought it was definitely one of the better years. I do like the Daily Place of Say. I don't know how you felt, but it kind of reminded me almost like a WrestleMania, kind of like an Orlando setting, where you got the nice little view of the crowd was loud. You kind of get that environment. You kind of feel like it's a big fight feel type of thing, which I do enjoy. It makes it kind of stand out. I thought the matches were great. I thought the little segments were good. I do agree. I think Riho does need to drop the title soon. Chris Statlayer, I do like her, but I kind of wish I see a little bit more from her personally. But I do agree Riho kind of needs to drop the title to somebody. As long as it's not Britt Baker, I'm cool with it. But overall, I thought the show was really good. And I do like the build-up. But I know this is kind of a side question off the AEW. I kind of always want to get your opinion on this. Kind of sidetracking. So in NXT, we obviously have Finn Balor as the new heel. He's kind of going back to his Prince Devitt ways. My question to you was, if Balor Club actually became actual faction, we had a grand total of six members, one for Balor, of course, being the main event, a mid-carder, cruiserweight tag team, and women's wrestler from NXT, whether they're currently or the future, who would you put in that little stable as like the official new like Balor Club stable for NXT?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to take a look at the roster and just see who's even available on the NXT roster. You know, in terms of tag teams, in terms of the women, I'm sure I could come up with some combination. I haven't even given that any thought because I don't think there's any chance of it happening. I think he'll be back on the main roster within a few months. And actually, one of the things, and I'll talk about this on the Sound Off on Sunday, is, you know, because somebody floated this idea, and I thought it was interesting. It was an interesting idea when they mentioned it to me, and I you know, I wouldn't count it out entirely, that Balor has to be in the running as a potential winner in the Royal Rumble match. You know, representing NXT, but then he'll have his choice of choosing, let's say, the champion that he wants to wrestle at WrestleMania. And maybe we end up getting Balor and The Fiend. You know, maybe his time in NXT has you know, wrapped up by that point. I guess it depends on when they do the match with him and Johnny Gargano. I just thought that was an interesting idea that until this person brought it up, I hadn't really thought of it. But I certainly don't think he'll be sticking around NXT long enough to form any kind of Balor Club group. And if he goes back to the main roster, I don't see him forming his own group there either. So it probably doesn't matter. It's probably a moot point either way because I don't see it happening. Let's go to area code 980. You're on the air.
Hello?
980.
Oh, hello? Saw Monster?
Yes. Oh, goodbye. Let's go to you guys gotta be quick. You guys gotta be quick. We only have so much time here. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a prick, but come on, we gotta move along here. Let's go to area code 707. You're on the air.
Oh. Hello.
707.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Moss? How's it going? My name is JJ.
Hey JJ, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Oh, Happy New Year, first of all.
Happy New Year.
Coming from San Francisco, California.
Awesome.
Funny, great hearing from you, but just quick on the matter. So what's your first impression for tonight's match overall for AEW, and what's your expectation going on from here on out with all the factions coming up, Dark Order, and Sunshine? So can I have your opinion on this matter? Excuse me.
Well, I thought the show tonight, I said before, I thought the show tonight was really strong. I thought it was a good bounce back effort. Certainly that ending on that last live show was no good. So I thought tonight, really from start to finish, was a very strong show. And they can build on this now going forward here in the new year. I mean, I'm digging some of the key stories, the stuff with Cody and MJF and whatever they're doing, building some tension between, you know, Hangman and the Elite. We'll see how that plays out. I'm digging what they're doing at the moment.
Oh, cool, cool. This is one last ultimate question. For next week's match, what do you think about the steel cage between MJF's bodyguard and Cody Rhodes? Just for the main event, and it's the first steel cage match for AEW. What's your opinion on that, sir?
I think it'll be a good draw as a TV main event. I don't know if they're doing it next week or not, but I think I guess they're not doing it next week because it's going to be Cody and Dustin against the Lucha Bros, but I think it'll be a good draw as a television main event, first cage match in AEW. I guess the one thing I would say is that Cody's got to win, which means that means Wardlow loses in his first match. Now, there are ways that you can do it. You know, if the Elite get involved and it takes, you know, more than just one person to beat Wardlow because he's, you know, he's like a monster. But beating Wardlow in his first match, that seems a little suspect to me. I don't know that I would have gone down that road. But to do a cage match on TV, I think it'll be a good draw for them. Let's go to area code 409. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Solid Monster?
Very good. Who am I talking to?
This is Joseph, the one from Silsby, Texas, currently residing in Beaumont.
Hey, Joseph. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I already made my New Year's resolution. It is to make enough money so I can start paying on your PayPal because... college is something, ain't it?
Oh, please. I only first paid off my college loans last year. And I've been graduated for many years, so I know that pain.
I hear you, and I just graduated, and I'm already regretting it. The show, this is a great refresher after that debacle on Monday. I'm not even going to get into it. But I just see all the talent on AEW. You know, they got, you know, Cody, Kenny Omega, and, you know, the Lucha Bros, who, I mean, they can be great at singles. Do you think it's time for them to go ahead and, you know, create that secondary title, or do you think they should wait off on it a little bit? And if they do create it, who do you think should win it?
I think they could probably get away with waiting a couple more months. I would say they have their Revolution pay-per-view at the end of February, right? All right, so that's February 29. Their next pay-per-view probably won't be until Double or Nothing, which is the end of May. I think it's tough. I think they could probably, if they wanted to, get away with holding off until Double or Nothing. I mean, I know that's still, I mean, that's, we're talking 5 months, I think. It's a long time. Me personally, I think you could wait and then have some kind of tournament that culminates at Double or Nothing and crown your secondary champion, whatever they call that title. I do think that they're going to need a second title if we assume they're going to build their roster up more. I'd still like to see them add a few more new names to the roster that we haven't seen yet. So I don't think it's something they have to do right away. I think it's something that you can build to. But I do think it's something that's inevitable. I think it's going to happen in the next several months.
That's great. Also, well, one more question, so I'm going to let you go so you can get to everybody else. On the subject of titles, would you agree that AEW's world title is the best-looking title in all of wrestling?
I would disagree, and I would say that the IWGP title is the nicest-looking. And I'd say the AEW title I'd probably put behind it at number two. It kind of reminds me of the IWGP belt a little bit. So I like them both. I would say IWGP number one, and then maybe the AEW title number two.
Good choice. Thank you for allowing me on the show.
Thank you for calling in. And if I had to throw a third choice in there, as much as it kills me that they got rid of the Intercontinental title because there was no reason to do that, it was actually the best-looking belt in the company, and that's the one that they changed. which I still don't understand. But I actually like the new design of the IC title. It's not the classic, but I think they did a pretty good job with it. Actually, it's still a pretty dance. It's probably still the best looking belt in the entire company, except for maybe the United Kingdom Championship. UK title's a good looking belt too. I'm a belt snob. What can I say? Let's take a few more. Let's go to. Let's see here. Why don't we do? Let's see. 548. Area code 548. You're on the air.
Hey, Austin from Canada.
Hey, Austin, how you doing?
Good. You talked earlier how you didn't agree with Moxley beating, or how long it took Moxley to beat Trent. So I agree with that, but I'm also kind of like a best friend's mark. So I just want to know, what do you think a good direction for Chuck and Trent is going forward?
Well, I mean, they're a good team. They're not the number one team in the company, obviously. Here's the trouble, though. When you have a tag team division like the one they have in AEW, and I've said before, I think it's the strongest tag team division that they have in any company, at least here in this country. More than WWE, more than either NXT division they have, NWA, Ring of Honor. When you have that many good tag teams, though, it's tough. You know, it's tough to break through when you've got the Bucks and you've got the Lucha Bros and you've got everybody else that they've got, you know, competing in that division. You've got to be ultra special. I think the Best Friends are a good team. I don't look at them and think that they're an elite team, like an elite level team. I just don't look at them that way.
Maybe no they just, intended.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. But maybe they just need to, I don't know, maybe they need to just build them up a little bit more. Maybe they can prove themselves to be an elite team, you know, down the road. I think they're a solid team to have. It's kind of like the Butcher and the Blade, you know, what I saw from them when they debuted a couple weeks ago. They were a pretty good team, you know. Now, are they a top shelf elite team? No. But I think they're a solid addition to the division. That's kind of how I look at Trent and Chuck. I think they're a solid addition to the division, and they've got Orange Cassidy as part of their act, who's as over as anybody in the company except maybe Cody. And so I think him being with them benefits them a lot because people love him so much. So I think they can be an entertaining, you know, solid entertaining act right now at this moment. I don't really see them as being anything more than that, but that could change, you know. Maybe down the road that could change.
Agree. And quickly, what do you think about Dustin Rhodes hitting a Canadian Destroyer on the hardest part of the ring? And I almost said 2019 and 2020.
Well, I'll make that mistake probably for another week or two before I get it right. I think it's great. He looks to be physically in the best shape of his entire life, the way he's moving around out there. I mean, I said the same thing when he was still doing the Goldust thing in the later years before he left WWE. So. But I also
someone on Reddit say,
yeah, but I also remember, you know, but I also remember when he was, you know, still doing Goldust, but we're talking the stuff with Booker T, which I love. That was very entertaining, but just physically, you know, he was heavier. And then of course, when he went to TNA, I mean, that was probably the worst shape. Yeah. I mean, that was probably the worst shape I've ever seen him in his life. And I know he had personal problems and all that. So, he's, what, 50 years old probably? To see him out there now doing this is pretty damn impressive. And I know he has said before that he's been lobbying Tony Khan. He wants to open a school down in Texas, and he would love for that school to basically be like almost their sort of de facto performance center for AEW so he could start training.
With Frankie Kazarian.
Right.
Or not Kazarian, Daniel.
Yeah. I'm going to let you go, but I think that would be a smart idea. You know, why not utilize him in that role? I think he could teach a lot of young people a lot of important things. He's been around a long time, so I think he could be a huge asset to that company, and that even more than he would be in the ring. I think he could be an even bigger asset in that role. Let's take two more. Let's go to Philadelphia. 484. You're on the air.
Solomonster, what's going on? It's Ryan. How you doing, man?
Good, Ryan. How are you?
You know, another day, another nickel. You know how it is. Let me ask you a question. If they were going to work with New Japan, Do you think that they would have mentioned something on tonight's broadcast about Jericho defending the title and all that good stuff, or do you think they would just kept it silent like they did?
No, I don't think it's necessarily a sign of anything, because one doesn't really have any effect on the other. So if they were working with New Japan, I don't think part of it would be, well, let's promote Wrestle Kingdom, because whatever they're going to do, like, I think there's a distinct chance that, you know, Moxley is not leaving Japan with the U.S. title. He's probably going to lose one, at least, you know, at least one of his matches. I mean, my prediction when I did the Wrestle Kingdom predictions was that he won't even get past Lance Archer. Do you really want to promote? I mean, how hard do you want to promote that event? This is your number one contender for your world title, right? So I don't think one has to do with the other. I would love to see the two companies work together. I would love to see some kind of talent exchange. I think it would be mutually beneficial. I just, you know, from what I've read and from what I've heard and from what I've seen, I don't see anything being any different. So I don't think it's going to happen. But even if it is, I don't think it would have changed the way they did things tonight. There's no reason for them to promote someone else's event.
I think mutual beneficial now more than ever before, since New Japan has no way of broadcast. Well, technically New Japan World, yeah, but they have no American TV now. You would think they would jump on this chance and just finally, whatever the heat is, I guess the heat's on the Bucks and Omega side of everything. Try to sit them down, talk to them, squash this shit, and move on from it. You know, work together, because to see Naito on AEW TV on a national stage in America like that, that would be pretty damn cool, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool. But I mean, again, though, and there's going to be people, the AEW audience, I'm sure, because they're a more hardcore audience, they probably would know who an Okada is or who a Tanahashi is, but there's a lot of people who have no idea who those guys are. So there would be a learning curve there. I agree that there would be a lot in it for New Japan, because now they have no TV here. Because they've been booted from access. I think they're going to work together. I just don't think it's happening so fast. I think whatever has to be worked out, it's going to take some time to work this out. But I would say we're going to see them working together in some capacity at some point in 2020. It just seems inevitable to me. I just don't see any other logical reason why it wouldn't happen.
That's the if, it's the when, like you just said. But all right, man, thanks for the call, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, let's see. Oh, my God, we got full lines here. Let's change it up and go to a different state. Got a lot of, we got like four Pennsylvania people. Got a lot of people in Pennsylvania. It's a big state. Let's go to Tennessee. How about that? Let's go to area code 615. You're on the air.
Hello, my name is Albert Bison.
Say that again. I didn't catch it the first time.
Alex Bison.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good. How about you? How do you feel about the Darby Allin versus Cody match?
I liked it. I thought it was a very enjoyable match. I thought it was the hot way to open the show. I liked it.
All right. I have one question about it. What did you like the most? The one at Fyter Fest or one at tonight?
Probably, that's a good question. I would say, I haven't seen the Fyter Fest match since the first time I saw it. I probably like tonight's match better. I
like the Fyter Fest one.
Did you? All right, that's fine. I would have to go back and watch it again. But maybe I just feel that way because I just watched this one, but I think I might have liked this one a little bit better.
I think the Darby Allin match, this match was kind of slow, in my opinion.
Okay, that's fine. Anything else?
Oh, one more question.
Sure.
One more question.
Sure.
When do you think that the New Japan and stuff going to happen? Like, I think, do you think it's going to happen before or after All Out or Double or Nothing?
If it happens, I don't think it's going to happen before Double or Nothing. I think it's going to take a little bit longer. I can't say if it'll be before All Out. I just feel like in 2020, at some point, something will be worked out. I just think it's inevitable something will be worked out. Let's go to 434. You're on the air.
Hello?
434, going once.
Just put out. Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Oh, crap. I'm actually surprised you called. Let me... Hey, my name is Cornell Miller. I'm from Lake Bushburg. Hello?
Go ahead. What's your question?
I've got one, and I know it's not... I don't know if you talked about that goofy segment in Raw. You probably already talked about it before, and I apologize for bringing it up again. But I really was hoping that the Liz Morgan thing was going to be something more than it was. And do you think it's the reason why they changed it? I think it's the reason why they changed it because they had another lesbian angle with the other two tag team partners. One's like supposed to be like a kickboxer, and other one wasn't tough enough. You think they changed it because they didn't want to do the angle?
I don't know if they changed it or not. I don't know if they changed it or not. If you go back and you listen to some of the Liv Morgan promos, they were foreshadowing this. So even the one they played on Monday night, you know, she's talking about something that changed her, and, you know, it's time for her to reveal her true self. And so they were foreshadowing it. So that makes me think that this might have been the plan from the start. I have no idea. I'm sure Mandy and Sonya are not too happy about it, though. They tweeted about it, too. But I'm sure they can't be very happy about this because this is an idea that Sonya pitched months ago. Apparently on Total Divas they had footage of her. And Total Divas is months behind. So this was an idea that she pitched to the company months ago. And it looks like they just went and gave it to somebody else. So if I were her, I wouldn't be very happy about that either. Let's go to Mississippi. Area code 662. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Joshua Hunter. Yeah, I was actually, for me, I favor actually AEW doing a partnership with the NWA instead. Shoot, the talent there is so skilled and stuff. I mean, shoot, anybody could get over now, and it'd be nice for the AEW stars to jump down to NWA for a little while too.
Yeah, I mean, I like the NWA. I watch Power every week. There'd be more in it for NWA.
I mean, the episode.
Yeah, there'd be more in it for NWA.
The episode this
they
week
have
was really good.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Like, even the Eli Drake segment, I mean, shoot, he's getting over like crazy. And if he popped up on AEW, that would be insane.
Yeah, he's getting over. I like Eli. He's going to be a big star, I think, somewhere in the end. But I still, like, I watch him every week, and this week was no different. And he is just, I mean, he is just a carbon, not a carbon copy, I guess that's not fair to say, but he is clearly modeling the way he talks, his mannerisms, everything screams Stone Cold Steve. Now, maybe he's a huge Stone Cold fan. If he's a Stone Cold Mark, that's fine.
Yeah.
But he is so clearly patterning himself after Austin. It's not even subtle.
But he appeals himself like The Rock in a way too.
Oh yeah, he takes from both. He takes from both of them. I mean, I think that's been obvious since day one.
And even some people have pointed out how he has a Ric Flair, like a modern Ric Flair to him in a sense. But I don't really see it too much. I can see maybe where they're going with it. But, I could see that too. But definitely Stone Cold. His technique, you can tell, is a lot like Austin's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you just listen to one of his promos. You watch him and listen to him. And I don't see how you can come away from it not seeing the influence from Austin. And I'm not even saying I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Just because if you are a younger fan and you don't really know of Austin, you know, we sometimes forget it's going to be almost 20 years soon that Austin has been retired.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I just
turned 30 in November, man.
Right. So there are some, okay, well, there you go. So there are some, and I'm older than you. So there are some people who are watching that who probably really didn't grow up watching Austin. Maybe they don't really know much of him. And they don't necessarily watch Eli Drake and feel the same way that I do. But I feel like if you're my age or older and you grew up and you lived through the Attitude Era and all those Austin promos, if you watch an Eli Drake promo from NWA Power, I guarantee you will get an Austin vibe every single time he goes out there and talks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's honestly like Nick Aldis. I mean, I would love to see the 10 pounds of gold versus the AEW championship. That would blow up, especially in the territories and stuff. That would be insane. If Cody could go from territory to territory, he can't win the AEW championship. But if he showed up like Marty Scurll showed up on NWA Power and challenged Nick Aldis.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I'm gonna let you go. Thank you for the call. It would be cool. Like I said, I watch the NWA. Not everybody does, clearly, but I don't see what would be in it for AEW. For NWA, they'd love. Oh, please, they'd love. I'm sure they'd love the shit out of that. But for AEW to send their talent, like Cody, one of their top stars, to NWA, I don't see what they gain from it. So yeah, as a fan, it would be cool, but in a practical manner, I just don't see what's in it for them. Let's go to New Jersey, area code 609.
Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Hello.
Who am I talking to?
Hello. Oh, this is Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Okay, glad the call went through. What are your thoughts on how the...
Wait. Hold on a second.
Oops.
My Siri.
Could you please repeat what you said?
I said your name, and then it must have thought that I said Siri. So, I guess I got to shut this thing off.
Modern
now.
Technology can be annoying.
Yeah.
My name is Siri, but you knew that already.
Okay, she's being an annoying bitch now. I got to turn this off here. Hold on here. How do I turn this?
At least she's not Alexa. Anytime you mention Alexa, this.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. If I had one of those, that would be really annoying. But go ahead.
Terrible. Okay, so. The inset promos or the picture in picture during matches, I don't know what. I mean, I understand that it is to make it DVR proof, and it is also there to make it so that people don't change the channel. But it's kind of infuriating when you see something happening on there, and then they just cut away from it. Like they do half the commercial break with that, and then they finish the commercial break with like eugenics ads. Or a full commercial, and yeah. it was especially frustrating in the Dustin versus Sammy match where Dustin was doing something with the steel chair to Sammy, and you can see like he was about to hit him with the steel chair, like around the ring post area, and then they just cut to commercial.
Yeah,
a full commercial, and that's just infuriating.
Yeah,
they've
got to do a better
like
job
seeing
with
it.
That.
Like either go all in or I don't know, stick to it entirely because. Yeah, even though tonight there was no risk for like fans really switching between channels, but if anything, that would make me change the channel more. So it's just that production. I'm not a big fan of it, especially when some.
Yeah, well, sorry, didn't mean to do that, but no, I agree. They got to do a better job, I think, of the picture-in-picture stuff. And the biggest offense, and I didn't see it happen tonight really, but a few weeks ago when they have these backstage segments and you can't see what's going on, or they come back from break and the announcers don't even acknowledge what we missed. That's the sort of thing they need to cut back on. I didn't see too much of that tonight. It was more just the audio issues with some of the backstage segments. So hopefully they can fix that. Let's take one more. Let's go all the way to the state of Oregon. Is it Oregon? Oregon? You'll tell me. Area code 541. Is it Oregon or Oregon?
It is Oregon, Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. See, that's what I thought. I was right the first time. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, thanks, man, for taking my call. I just was curious if your thoughts on if their ratings continue to stay around this level, around the 800,000 level, do you think TNT will renew their contract when it's up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, especially if the belief was that they were going to be around 500,000 or so.
That's what they were thinking.
Yeah, what they've been averaging. Yeah, I can't imagine that TNT would not want to continue to do business with them.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, because you know, full disclosure, I've never even seen one episode of them. I'm not a big fan of them. But I just, you know, I always see the tweets from I don't know who is the guy that runs Observer, the other guy besides Meltzer.
Oh,
Alvarez. Yeah, Alvarez. I always see, you know, NXT and then they're really right there and battling it out every week. So I'm just always curious if they'll be able to stay on TV, you know?
Well, I mean, look, tonight would have been a good show for you to watch because it was in a unique setting and I thought tonight was one of their better shows. So if you want to get a flavor for what the product is like, find, you know, track down tonight's show and give it a watch.
So I started to watch, but I was watching through the Darby Allin and Cody match, and I noticed they had a really small arena, which I thought was a bad look. I didn't like the look of how it made him look kind of, you know, small. and look like an amateur show, you know. But I know they're on TNT, and that's, you know,
well,
great
usually,
for them.
Yeah, usually but, they're in bigger buildings every week. This was just a special show. Apparently, the Khan family, it's a facility they either run or they own. You could see it's partially outdoors. It's one of those like special locations. So week to week, they're in regular normal buildings.
Yeah, it did look kind of cool. It did look where they were kind of cool, but I just made them look small to me. I just couldn't watch it. It seemed boring. Just like Raw and SmackDown are. You know, I can't watch anymore. It's too painful.
Well, all right. Well, hey, I mean, I certainly don't want you to be in pain like I am every Monday. So far be it from me to tell you to watch the show.
I did tune in live for the Lon and Lashley wedding, and that was quite something.
So let me get this straight.
That was
great. Let me get this straight. So you're talking about being in pain and it's too much and all this, but you subjected
this
yourself.
This is a good kind of
but,
thing.
But you
I knew it was going to be a shit
show.
I knew what it was going
to
be.
To Lana and Lashley's wedding.
That when they kept coming, I thought it was hilarious. And the crowd was on fire for it. So I thought, you know, I didn't mind it, to be completely honest. It's just kind of, you know, a little bit of like Jerry Springer here and there isn't terrible. You know what I'm saying? I'm not opposed to it.
Okay. Well, hey, if you want to watch Jerry Springer, then by all means. And in fact, I said this in my my Sound Off Extra review on that Raw show Monday night, that you can watch. They have an entire channel on Pluto TV, which is a free app. They have commercials they stick in there, but it's a free app. Download it on your phone, channel 158. You can watch all the episodes of Jerry Springer and Maury Povich and Steve Wilkos to your heart's content. That's what that entire channel is basically devoted to, that and old episodes of Blind Date, which is the only reason I even watch it sometimes. But and I'm not even opposed to segments like that from time to time. So some people, of course, they have selective hearing, and they did not hear that I gave praise to the Teddy Long wedding. When I did my review on Monday, on Tuesday, when I reviewed Monday's show, I brought up the Teddy Long wedding to Crystal Marshall on SmackDown, which was, I think, over 10 years ago at this point. And I thought that was actually really funny and really well done. I happen to think what I sat through and saw on Monday night was shit. And I know I'm not alone in that opinion. And I, for one, am very happy that we are going to... I was happy with tonight's show. And I'm very happy that we have Wrestle Kingdom this weekend. Wrestle Kingdom this weekend could not be coming at a better time. It's going to be a lot. It's two nights back to back. And for those who don't know, I will be covering Wrestle Kingdom on the, or at least I plan to, on the YouTube channel. I'll probably just do one review for each day. So at some point later in the day on Saturday, once I have a chance to catch up on the entire show, I'll try to record a review for day one. I'll do the regular show on Sunday, the regular podcast. There will be no mention whatsoever of any New Japan stuff because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. And then on Sunday night, right here on the YouTube channel, I will plan to have a review up for day two of Wrestle Kingdom. So those of you who are interested in that, that is my plan to cover the event this weekend, which I am looking forward to. Let's switch back to the Twitter poll and see what the results are here before we wrap up. And pretty much the same as they were before. Roughly 81% thumbs up, 19% thumbs down, over 1,600 votes. And so that is a... Jesus Saldana just subscribed as we see the little blue shark. Shark Bully dancing around here in front of my screen. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. Somebody asked in the chat, what is the best way to watch Wrestle Kingdom? I still think just... price-wise, it probably just makes sense to go ahead and subscribe to New Japan World. I think in American dollars, it only works out to about $9 and change. You can buy each night or each day of Wrestle Kingdom on Fight TV. I think it's going to cost you $24.99 per show. So that's going to run you $50. It seems to me signing up for New Japan World makes a hell of a lot more sense. You know, that's what I do. I don't, you know... I don't hesitate to go ahead and subscribe to New Japan World. Easy to use. Once you're signed up, you can switch back and forth. You can toggle between English and Japanese commentary. I sometimes will watch it in Japanese commentary. I have no idea what they're saying, but I admire their passion and their enthusiasm. But their English commentary is really good. So if I do switch over to the Japanese, it's not because I can't stand the English. I just like that. I just like that enthusiasm that they have. The Japanese announcers, they really get into that shit. So anyway, there's the Twitter poll. You can still vote. Hopefully you will all go ahead and do so. At Solomonster is my handle for those of you who would like to go ahead and vote. And I want to thank everybody who joined me here tonight, for this is the first sound off of the new year. Technically, that is tonight. That's what this show was. This was the first sound off of the new decade. And so I thank you all for joining me for what I thought overall was a very good episode of Dynamite. Next week, NXT is going to be back live on USA, so we'll get that head-to-head thing going on again. NXT is off this week. I read the names of the Dusty Classic teams earlier, the Best of Awards. You can go look those up elsewhere online if you care to find out who got what award. I won't spoil that for you. And I will see you guys for Wrestle Kingdom coverage this weekend in episode 633 this Sunday with a brand new RSPW Rewind. As always, every week. I just got that done today. It's another good one. Another good Rewind coming up this weekend. So thank you for all the support. Thank you for all the super chats. Hopefully you guys will join me throughout 2020. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. And until next time, be well, stay safe. Wishing everybody a very happy new year. And I will see you guys for more wrestling talk and more Wrestle Kingdom coverage this weekend here on the YouTube channel. Take care, guys.